for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, November the 28th, 1980. Thanksgiving weekend camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Alan Rohleg of Minnesota is the teacher of the afternoon.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Who can say what God can do? Who can tell of His love for you? Through the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. Who can tell what God can do? Who can tell of His love for you? In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we have the victory.
He doesn't claim to be a preacher. He's a layman. I don't know what kind of a businessman you even are. What kind of businessman are you?
Well, I own a farm equipment agency.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the gist of it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not much, but I love the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Always. Praise the Lord. I would like to have somebody that's would write. That's why I have a blackboard here. Because I used to teach Dale Carnegie, if you ever heard of that, sales training and public speaking years ago. And I've traveled around this country, and I haven't found very many smart guys yet that can learn very much without writing it down. Stick your pride in your pocket today and take notes. That's what I did with Brother Brout last night. Folks, before I start my presentation here, I'm going to talk a little off the cuff, so to speak. This is the first time when I was going to go on a trip that I've been undecided whether I should come. There was all kinds of things coming up trying to hinder me from coming here.
Sure.
And I've been praying and trying to figure out what this was that was trying to stop me. And I got on the plane and I felt oppression on the plane. I was oppressed the whole time. An outside force coming against me. Just wondered what it was. But when he started to speak last night, I knew that was Satan didn't want me to hear that message. Now, if you people weren't here last night by the tape,
yes.
I have been all over the United States in many meetings. This is the best meeting I have ever been to was the one here last night. And I'm not saying that to put a bunch of bouquets on him. But it's the truth. It's the best meeting I have ever been to. That's my opinion. And I believe you're going to enjoy it. If you didn't hear it, get the tape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is His name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. The Holy Ghost said it's Jesus is the name. And when she got up here, I knew that this was what it was going to be because she started talking about that name of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost all morning has been telling me, Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Somebody come to the blackboard, please, whoever can write for me. And then we'll put these down, these scripture verses, so that I don't have to repeat them. Start out right now by writing down Hosea 4:6. Hosea in the Old Testament says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That's why we got people full of devils and sickness and diseases and cancers. It's because of ignorance, a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people. The Bible says, my people, God's people, perish for a lack of knowledge. Isn't that right? My people. He didn't say the unbelievers. He said, my people. The people in church are the ones that are perishing with a lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Jesus is the name. Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. God the Father has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that's above every name. Do you get that? Jesus, God the Father gave Jesus a name that's above every name. That name is above cancer. That name is above arthritis. That name is above every name. Listen to this. That at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things or beings in heaven, of things or beings on earth, and things or beings under the earth. And that every tongue, listen to this now, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Every time we say Jesus Christ is Lord, it brings glory to God the Father. Jesus is the name. That's the name that brings glory to God the Father. Revelation 19:13 said his vesture was dipped in blood and his name was called the Word of God. I love when I pray to God the Father, I say, in the name of Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the Word. That's what it says in Revelation 19:13. Hallelujah. Jesus is the name. And that's why I'm here, is to glorify that name of Jesus. And it's that name that things and beings are going to bow. Sickness and diseases are going to bow. Circumstances are going to bow to that name of Jesus. When I got saved, it was a Catholic guy in overalls that led me to the Lord. After I'd been in church for 48 years. 48 years, president of our large Lutheran church. A Gideon, but I didn't know Jesus. Till one day a guy came to the hospital where I was in and led me to the Lord. He said, it's that thing, he said, right below your nose, 1 inch below your nose, that's going to make the difference. And I thought, what in the world are you talking about? He said, thinking about Jesus isn't going to do any good. It's confessing him with your mouth. It's the words where the power comes through, the word. The name of Jesus, and by proclaiming that word. Some of you maybe don't know how to lead somebody to the Lord, and right now the Holy Ghost is telling me we better get that straight right quick. St. John 3:3, please. St. John 3:3, this Catholic guy in overalls came and told me, he said, Mister, he said, you must be born again. Born again. Nicodemus came, he was a preacher, and he came after dark. He had too much pride to come in the daytime. He came after dark to Jesus. And he asked him, what must I do? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus asked, can I get back into my mother's womb again, me a grown man? Jesus said, you must be born again. So I asked this Catholic layman in overalls, how in the world can I get born again? He said, you go over to Romans 10:8, 9, and 10. Write this down. These verses in the front of your Bible, if you don't know them, because by these verses, you're going to lead people to the Lord. See, the Holy Ghost only reacts to God's word. Not Martin Luther's word, not some dead pope's word, not my word, not your word, to the word of God. And I have found it real beneficial to, I hand them a Bible, show them St. John 3:3 and have them read it out loud to me. When they read it out loud, the Holy Ghost seems to go quicker yet to start convicting them. Aha! If you're with Catholics, tell them to get the Catholic Bible out. It's a good Bible. Tell them to get it out. Use the Catholic Bible. They'll feel real comfortable with that. Lead them to the Lord. Then Romans 10:8, 9, and 10 said, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, you shall be saved. Let me read it to you. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Mouth? Yeah, a Catholic guy in overalls telling me, he said, it's all in your own mouth. He said, it's as close as your own mouth, he said. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Ninth verse. That if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou or you shall be saved. Tenth verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth. With the mouth. With your tongue. That's what makes the difference. You can hear in the churches all over next Sunday, there'll be people all over the world in every denomination. They won't deny that Jesus didn't live. Even the Hindus and the Muslims and the devil worshippers, they'll say, yeah, he lived. There's many Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians that won't deny that Jesus lived. They'll say he was a prophet or a nice guy or a smart guy. But it's the difference when you ask him to come into your heart to be the Lord of your life. Thinking about it isn't going to change a bit. About 2 weeks ago, I was ministering to quite a large number of Catholics. All Catholics. I was asked to come and teach them the Word. And the Holy Ghost quickened me as it was at a farm home where this was. And I looked out and I saw the barn. So I asked them, I said, what is that big building there with the hip roof? And one of the ladies said, it's a barn. Yeah, I said, that's what I thought it was. Now I want to ask you people a question. If I sit in that barn day and night for the next 20 years, will I become a horse? No, there wasn't anybody. They all said, no, he ain't going to be a horse. Well, maybe if I sit there, then every day and night for the next 50 years, will I become a horse? No, they said. Still won't get to be a horse. Well, then what makes any one of us think that we go to church 1 hour a Sunday that we're a Christian? Makes as much sense. If I can go and sit in that barn and never get to be a horse, how can I ever be a Christian just sitting in church? There's something more to that. Hallelujah. So I just showed him how easy it was being led to the Lord. Folks, it's so easy to lead people to the Lord if you use these verses. You don't have to have a whole bunch of nighties on and a cross and a shawl on. No, no, you just take this word. And it works. It was an old farmhouse, and the kids were sitting all the way up the stairway, a whole bunch of them. And I said, before I start teaching here today, might as well get you saved, because if you're not saved, you can't understand what I'm speaking about. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says it's nothing but foolishness to the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. So why speak to a bunch of people if not saved? You're just spinning your wheels. So show them how to get saved first. Lead them to the Lord, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will open the eyes and ears of their understanding. It's that simple. Get them saved. Get them saved, and the Word will do it. Jesus is the name. Well, we've had many good lessons on spiritual warfare here. And now I'm going to give you scripture verses that you can write down if you don't know them. Most of you know a lot of them, but probably you don't. Probably you could get some benefit from these. You have to know the authority of the scripture before you're going to have any power against the devil and his demons. You have to know the scripture. You have to know that you know that you know that you got the power of the devil. If you don't know it, you're not going to be very effective. And these demons know whether or not you know. They know. There's a little housewife that maybe will be down here sometime and teach. Her name is Mrs. Ilo Abel from Montevideo, Minnesota. They brought a demon-possessed woman to my home, and I needed help because this one was a bad, bad case. I mean, she'd been demon-possessed. She was normal till she was 16, and she got in incest with her father in a chicken coop on a farm till she lost her mind. The demons took her mind through intercourse with her dad. Now, she was 220-some miles south of me, this girl that they brought, or this woman. And I asked Mrs. Ilo Abel to come out to my home. And when she walked in the door, the demon said, "Oh, no, Ilo Abel." They knew her. 200 and some miles away, and we'd never mentioned her name, but the demon said, "Oh, no, Ilo Abel." The spirit world is real, folks. But the only way you're going to have any power or authority is knowing the scripture. So therefore, I'm going to take you through the scripture today so that you'll know that you know that you know that you know that you have this power. And we're going to start out with Matthew, the 10th chapter, with the first verse. Matthew 10:1 tells us how Jesus called together the 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority over all devils to cast them out and to heal the sick. Matthew 10:1. How Jesus called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority against unclean spirits, it says in the King James, comma, to cast them out, comma, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's the first thing Jesus did to his disciples. He gave them the authority and the power against the unclean spirits. I think we got to read it right out so you get right from the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:1. You need to read this over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you're going to believe your authority. Because you're not going to get it just having me tell you or someone else. You must read it out loud. Your spirit, faith comes from hearing the word, not reading it. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes from hearing the word with your ears, hearing it. Read it out loud. Hallelujah. Praise God. But Matthew 10:1, it says, and when he, that's Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he, Jesus, gave them power against the unclean spirits, comma, to cast them out, comma, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All. Didn't leave nothing out. Can't get any more than all. There is no more. Doesn't say 80%, does it, brother? Doesn't say 90%. It says all sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:1. Then it goes on in Matthew 10 and tells some more. But we're going to go now to Luke, the 9th chapter, and the first verse. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is the name. Hallelujah. Find it here pretty quick. Praise the Lord. Luke 9:1. Then he, Jesus again, called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them power and authority over 50 devils? All devils. And to cure diseases. All. A-L-L. Can't get any more than that, folks. Overall. Boy, I remember when I found this verse and I went back to my Lutheran pastor and started telling about this. And I'm telling you, he got real busy. He said, "That's interesting, but I got to get to the hospital and see Mrs. Smith." Got real nervous. There are some in here. The Lord showed me even there's some in here that are kind of skeptical. Right now, there's people right here that are skeptical. I could walk right up to you. That this is new that you've never heard before. And last night, Brother Brote was talking about the Matthew, the 17th chapter. And it said, they said, "What kind of new doctrine is this?" You remember that? Way back at that time, they asked, "What new doctrine is this?" when Jesus started casting out devils. Some of you in here are wondering, "What new doctrine is this? Never heard this before." Because you've been told, be careful, watch out, don't get lopsided in your ministry. Don't get out of balance. You even said it, some of you. Oh, that's an unbalanced ministry. But you're the guy that's been unbalanced. It's not the ones casting out the devils that are unbalanced. It's the ones who are talking against that's unbalanced. As I was visiting with Alvina And where I'm staying this morning, I said, you know, sometime in the future I go out and speak the word, I'm going to go and speak something like this. Jesus was sure off base. That'll get him to start thinking. Then they'll check me out in the Bible, see. If I'd say that Jesus had all this power But if I say Jesus was off base, they're going to try and prove me wrong. And then they're going to get their eyes and the ears of their understanding opened. According to many of our churches and many of our evangelists today, Jesus was off base. Yeah, he was. And his disciples too, according to the teaching. Even on PTL and 700 Club, there's some of those guys that are calling Jesus off base. Whole bunch of them. Just because a guy walks around preaching and says, praise the Lord, amen, brother, ain't saying he's got all the light yet. They lie a lot. That's right. Let's get over to Luke 9:1 again. Together, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, if that wasn't important, why was that the very first thing that Jesus did when he called his disciples together? You know, we've had so many, bless me, sermonettes that don't amount to hill of beans. Oh, they're tickled the devil real nice. These people come out of there and they say, wasn't that a nice meeting? Oh, that was nice. That's right. Can't figure out a thing. But it was such a nice, the devil wasn't made a bit nervous at that meeting. Because they never found out who he was. The biggest trick he's got today is deception, folks. And he's got the charismatic, full gospel ones as deceived as the rest when it comes to spiritual warfare. As deceived as the rest. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to go over to the next chapter. And we'll go into Luke 10:17. Luke 10:17 says this. And the 70. Uh-oh. 70? We were always taught in my Sunday school there was only 12 disciples. 12 very wise, very powerful men. That's the teaching I had. 12. And the more I got into the scripture, I find out there's a whole bunch of them. And here's what it says in Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, again? They must have been back once before. It says they returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. Now, folks, I want you to underline this. And you spirits of drowsiness and sleepy spirits that's coming in here right now, I bind you in Jesus' name. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Write down Matthew 15:10. Jesus called a multitude together and he said, hear and understand. Each one of you right now say, I will to hear and understand in Jesus' name. The devil's trying to put some of you to sleep. Here the 70 returned again with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are, get that, are subject unto us through thy name. How do you like that? I underline that in my Bible, folks. You need to read that verse over and over and over again. Because the false teachers have been telling you've got no power. But Jesus, here it says in his word, they came and they said, Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Are subject unto us. Are subject unto us. You that are scared of the devil, take a good look at that and find out these demons are subject unto us. Oh, I just love that verse and all of it. But then it goes on, and he said, Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And the 19th verse, I heard Norval Hayes teach on this one time, and this is what gave him the power. Demons are getting nervous in here right now. When they hear this scripture, there's going to be manifestations of demonic forces shortly when the more we continue in this scripture here this afternoon. Norval Hayes says that stirs up the devils. When Jesus said, behold, In farmer talk in Minnesota, that means, hey, look. Jesus says, hey, look. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, A-L-L, over all of the power of the enemy. Now, does that leave anything out? Over all. That means over every demon and over Satan himself. Over all of the power of the enemy, Jesus said. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You don't have to be afraid of him. What are you scared of? Not long ago, I was a speaker at a full gospel businessmen's meeting. So I was teaching on this subject, but I perceived in my spirit before the meeting started that there was some pastors there. So I said, if there's any pastors here, will you come up to the front and sit on chairs, and as I give the scripture, I'll have you read it. So these pastors came up, and two of them were Assembly of God pastors. And they came up, and as I was giving this scripture, they got more nervous by the minute. And finally one of them says, hey, mister, stop it. Stop it. Preacher said to me in front of all those people, he said, if you keep talking like this, there's going to be a demon manifest in someone here. Well, I said, he's going to go in a hurry. Well, who do you think you are? He said, who in the world do you think you are? And a little Catholic housewife in the back of the room gets up and she said, what are you preachers scared of? My Bible said Jesus has given us power over all devils. And boy, they started sliding down in the seats. Now, can you imagine the Lord looking down at his army and looking at his generals? I would say the Lord's got a sorry bunch of generals on earth so far. Don't even know who the enemy is. Frightened and afraid. Ignorant of the scripture. Ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Jesus said, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant. A dummy. But that's what... Oh, so many of the men that are out today preaching are so ignorant of the scripture. Go on and bless me. And so at this same meeting, an 80-year-old grandma gets up and she said, young fellow, made me feel real good. She said, young fellow, she said, could I say something? Well, I'd gotten such a blast from these Pentecostal preachers, I thought, just as well take a chance. So she came up and she said, I got to tell you something. And she said, you guys listen to this. She's in her 80s. When she was 7 years old in Minnesota, the farmhouses that got basements that you open two big doors in the old houses, you flop them open and it's a stairway, you carry the potatoes and everything down in, you know. So her folks were gone and her brother said, they opened the door and they said, go down to the basement and get something. She went down to the basement to get it. They slipped the door shut and sat on it and started telling her was ghosts and all kinds of things down there. And a spirit of fear came in. At the age of 7, she had such fear from that day forward. She was married and went from one church to another, belonged to an Assembly of God church. Went up there and says, I got such fear. And they'd get the elders together, the typical old devil-petting prayer. That's right. They'd get her up here, they'd say, now brothers, all the brothers come up here, let's lay hands on her and bless her. And they'd say, bless her, Lord. And it'd sound real religious. And then one would say, glory, hallelujah. Typical holy roller prayer with no power. So she said, I went home just as fearful as I can. But the next time there was another evangelist, she'd go up there again and she'd say, there's something on me that's caused me to fear. And I think it's of the devil. And, oh, my goodness, no, they're so polite from the devil. You don't talk that way. We'll bless her. She said she'd been blessed with these little blessing prayers time and again for I don't know how many years. She's in her 80s. So one day she's uptown and she's telling about this terrible fear she had. She said she could not sit in the middle. If there were three people in the front seat of a car, she couldn't sit there. She had to be on one side or the other. She could not. She was so frightened, had that fear. She said that to a salesman one day. Well, he said, that's no big deal. That's just a spirit of fear. A demon. He just looked her face to face and he said, you foul spirit of fear, come out in the name of Jesus. And she said it jumped right off of her. And from that day forward, she's been free. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. You know, the Lord has shown me there's nothing else but Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. There is nothing to come against us if we take that name of Jesus. Jesus is the name. Hallelujah. We aren't done with this Luke yet. Praise the Lord. That was the 19th verse, Luke 10:19. Now listen to this. If you go to a lot of pastors and clergymen today, you're going to get this verse shot at you because they don't have insight of the Scripture. They'll start coming up. I had a Lutheran preacher come up to me, and he said, well, take a look at the 20th verse. They really know that 20th verse, these devil petters. Here's what it says. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. And they say it real fast. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. See, that's the part. They don't have the spiritual insight to understand that whole verse. You take a look at that 20th verse again. Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Now underline this in your Bible. That the spirits are subject unto you. In other words, Jesus said, it's such a Mickey Mouse deal. The spirits are subject unto you. You don't have to get up and praise the Lord and clap and glory hallelujah. Because he said it's all done. The spirits, the demons are subject unto you. If you want to get excited, praise the Lord, because your names are recorded in heaven. He said that's the big deal. He said it's a Mickey Mouse deal, this other part. These spirits are subject unto me, unto us. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, he said, don't rejoice about this because it's such a Mickey Mouse deal. When you guys grow up, you'll realize that all the devils are subject unto you. You get that? You need to read it over and over and over again until you believe it. Some of you ain't believing it yet. Ah, because it's so alien to the philosophy and doctrines of demons that you've heard for so long. See, anything that's against the Scripture is a doctrine of demons. If it's against the Word of God, it's from the devil. If this pious preacher gets up there and starts telling you this is not for today, who do you think he's serving? Just ask yourself this question. Who is he serving? It's really something. Because he's deceiving you from the victory through that name. I got to read it again to you. Notwithstanding, Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. I underlined that in my first Bible and I kept saying it. I'd drive around the road and I'd say, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. That it is written that all devils are subject unto me through Christ Jesus. Are subject unto me through Christ Jesus. And if you think you're ever going to have any power, folks, against the devil and his demons, without the Scripture, you are spinning your wheels. You need to get these verses into your spirit. Read them out loud. Confess them with your mouth till you believe it. You don't sit in one meeting like this and believe it. You need to say it, say it, say it, say it till you believe it. And first thing you ought to do is take some time and say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I have been believing lies and ask you to forgive me of this in Jesus' name. And then, Father, by your Holy Spirit, open the eyes and the ears of my understanding so I can see who I am through Christ Jesus. We need to confess these sins of unbelief and doubt. Confess them. Confess the lies that you've been preaching about the gospel. The Lord opened my eyes and he said, you better get down on your knees and start confessing some of these things that have been an error to me. That you've taught and thought they were teachings. Because I start out teaching things from theology of some of these men. I'd buy their books and I thought it was the Word. Till I started meditating on the Word. You don't get the insight till you start meditating on the Word. Meditation. There's so many things that have been taught and we've assumed to be from the Scripture that are nothing but a pack of lies. Deception is Satan's, I believe, his greatest tool. Deception. And you're looking at a guy that's been in darkness. Even for the few years after I got saved and filled the Holy Ghost, I had so much darkness. I'm sure I still got some, but I praise God each day that more and more of his light is coming in. As the word comes in, the light comes in, the darkness goes out. And I'll tell you something, last night, a lot of darkness left me last night. When you get in there and find all these things, I never had seen that light before. And I'm going to have to take a little rerun of this a little bit, brother. Jesus did not scold his 12 disciples for casting out devils. That is really, really hit me last night. Jesus didn't scold them for doing his works. He scolded them for their unbelief. They said, why can't we cast out devils? The reason some of you can't cast out any devils is yet because of your unbelief and your doubt and your religious theology. That's what's holding you back from victory in your life, because of your own foolishness. You need to hear and understand, Jesus said. Hear and understand. Matthew 15:10, Jesus said, he called the multitude together and he said, hear and understand. Not long ago, the Holy Ghost dealt with me and said, quit giving people 50, 200 verses at a meeting. They can't grasp it. He said, give them a handful and teach them what these mean so they can hear and understand. Because in Matthew 13:19, folks, says this. When anyone, that's me included, hear the gospel of the kingdom and understand it not, then, it says in that verse, then cometh the evil one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. Folks, if some man is standing up here giving you the scripture and he doesn't reveal it to you by the power of the Holy Ghost so you understand it, you've lost it. The devil's taken it out before you get out the door. That's what the scripture said. Then immediately cometh the evil one. Try it next Sunday afternoon. Ask the people if they were in church on Sunday, and most people go. Then say, what was the sermon about? And they say, boy, it sure was good. Well, what was it about? I don't remember. Then the husband will ask his wife, and she's just as confounded. See, because it says in the scripture, I didn't write these things. And I hope that none of you are offended today, because I'm going to only tell you what's in here. Scripture. And so I hope it doesn't offend you what comes from here. If it does, you better take a real good examination of who you're serving. Jesus said, back there in Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then, no, not tomorrow morning, then, look in your Bibles, it says, then immediately cometh the evil one and catcheth that away which was sown in the heart. You need to hear and understand. Go to the preacher that can reveal these things to you, who has light by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's go on. Luke 10:21. Keep on going. Listen to what happened. When his disciples came back and told Jesus they had seen that they had power over the devil, you know what Jesus did? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Jesus got happy when his followers found out what's going on. Yes, sir. Right then, Jesus gets so excited, he starts rejoicing. Why, he said, I'm sure he was thinking, their eyes are finally getting, the veil is coming off. Praise the Lord. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. See, Jesus doesn't go. You don't hear the Pope talking about this, or the real wise guys, the bishops and the guys with all the nitties. No, he's revealing it to just us little ordinary folk. Isn't that beautiful? He says he's hid it from these big shots, so to speak. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. See, it's the babies that are moving. The
little baby groups all over the country. The Holy Ghost is anointing these old farmers and carpenters and mechanics and doctors and lawyers and opening their eyes. And they're confounding the guys from the seminary. Confounding them. That's right. I've had preachers come to my office. One guy for 29 or 31 years, I don't remember which, but had been a missionary in Africa. Came to my office one day and he says, "Hey, I got to ask you some questions." I said, "What do you want to know?" He said, "My goodness," he said, "I hear that these full gospel businessmen, meaning there's miracles." "Yeah, lots of them." "Yeah, but I can't understand how that can happen. That's not supposed to be for today," he said. Well, I happen to know the guy that's head of the Buick division for General Motors, and he's one of the big shots in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. His name is Newman Payton. Have you probably met him, Newman Payton? He's the guy that led Sir Lionel LeCoux, the greatest lawyer on earth, to the Lord. Okay, Newman Payton. He's the guy, the head of the Buick division of General Motors. Just a ordinary old salesman that loves the Lord. He's the guy that was on his knees in Gahana praying in tongues right before Jones killed all them people. And as he's praying in tongues in the hotel room, the Holy Ghost said to him, "Organize the full gospel businessmen here before you leave town." And he invited Sir Lionel LeCoux, and Sir Lionel LeCoux gets saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at that meeting on his knees with a bunch of salesmen. That's who God's raising up. He's hiding these things from the guys that are so religious that they can't understand it. See, there's two things in the world, religion and Christianity. All kinds of religion, but and a lot less Christianity. But listen to this now. Praise the Lord. "And has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father," back in the 21st verse, "even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." That's a good idea. We let these little folks see what's going on. "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man know who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to he whom the Son will reveal him." Now look at the 23rd verse. "And he turned and said unto his disciples privately." Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately. Take a good look, folks, because Jesus is doing the same thing to you through his scripture. He is speaking to you privately. He's talking to each one of us privately through his word by his Holy Ghost. And you know what Jesus said? "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see." Isn't that something? Blessed are the eyes. Jesus is so excited because his disciples came back and found out that they could take his name against the devil and his demons and they had to obey him. Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes." Isn't that great? 24th verse. "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear these things which you hear and have not heard them." Jesus said there's many people throughout the world that would like to know and hear and see what you people have just seen. But they're not hearing it. In fact, you go to some of these religious people today, they don't want to hear this. Including in the charismatic movement, my friends. So they're running around with the cancers. Jealousy. Jealousy. Now, for some of you here that say, "I've never heard this before, and I can't quite understand that because I'm such a holy person and I read the Word a lot, so I can't have no demons." Just last week, the Holy Ghost opened the eyes and ears of my understanding what to say to people like that. And I had three men that come into my office. And they were sitting across from my desk, and I asked them this question. The question that I ask you today, if you think you haven't got any demons, I ask you this one question, and I hope and trust you'll never forget it. Have you ever had a slip of the tongue? Right now, every one of you are saying, "Boy, and lots of times." And if you'll check and recall, every time you have a slip of the tongue, it is sarcasm, backbiting, cutting, hurting someone. You never have a slip of the tongue to give glory to God or to encourage or to edify with that slip of the tongue. That slip of the tongue is always to condemn, criticize, or complain. Think about that for a minute. The slip of the tongue. Now then, if it wasn't you in control of your tongue, it certainly wasn't God the Father in control of that tongue. There had to be somebody else having your tongue. There's a book back there on that table. It's written by Jesse Pan Lewis. It's called War on the Saints. You need to tell the demons to come out of your tongue and out of your vocal cords. Demons, I had to chase a whole bunch of them out of myself, I'll tell you that. They're in our tongue and in our vocal cords. And a whole bunch of other places. But that's something that everybody can relate to because everybody's had a slip of the tongue. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
The verses you just read contradict the doctrine of Jesus only also.
Is that right? I'm not familiar with their doctrine, but I know that this is a pure doctrine here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6 says, My people perish for a lack of knowledge. My people, the people in church all over the world, the Christians, even those filled with the Holy Ghost, are perishing for a lack of knowledge. See, pride too is, you know what Satan felt because of pride? That's what brought Satan down. What's keeping you from deliverance if you haven't had any? Think about it. The very same thing that brought Satan down. Pride. Philippians 2:9 and 10. It's the name. Jesus is the name. How God the Father gave Jesus a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every being or thing must bow in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation 19:13 says, his garment was dipped, his vesture was dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Turn now to Mark, the 16th chapter, and we're going to read the 15th through the 20th verses. Not long ago, I was traveling to northern Minnesota in the last couple of years, and I was driving down the road, and the Holy Ghost, I was praying in tongues and I was asking God, what should I talk about? And the Holy Ghost said, open your prayer with Mark 16, 15 through 20. Praise the Lord. And I got to just go over that again. Hallelujah. Mark the 16th chapter. And these, by the way, is the last words of Jesus Christ on earth. Jesus said in Mark 16, starting with the 15th verse, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said there's signs that are going to follow the believers, not the doubters, not the religious guys. He said those who believe. Those who believe, not the unbelievers. He didn't say that. He didn't say Billy Graham or Oral Roberts. He said them that believe. I ask you, do these signs now follow you? Like I ask myself, do these signs follow me? Jesus said these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16:17. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Isn't that strange? That's the first sign. Again, the first thing he gave him when he called him together was the authority over the demons. And now he says this. Here it starts out. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. After he had spoken these words, he was received up into heaven. That's the last word Jesus said. After he had spoken these words, he was received up into heaven. And the disciples went everywhere, it says, preaching the gospel and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. God only confirms this word, and he's going to confirm it very shortly here, with signs and wonders following. With signs and wonders are going to follow just in a few minutes, because they never fail following the word when you expect the signs and wonders to follow. They're going to follow. A whole bunch of signs and wonders going to follow in just a few moments now. Because Jesus never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Malachi 3:6, it says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. I change not. God says, I change not. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus gave this proclamation to his disciples and his believers, it's not going to change. It hasn't changed. It can't change. He said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Take and turn to Psalms 119, the 89th verse. Psalm 89, verse. Jesus said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word. Take a look at it, you skeptics. There are some skeptics here I can perceive in my spirit. Take a look at Psalms 119, the 89th verse. And it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's a long time. Thy word. And if you think you're going to change it or somebody's going to change it, you're mistaken. It's not going to change. Now turn to Matthew 15:7-9. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost just gave me that one again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Mark 7:7. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Matthew 15:7, Jesus said, you hypocrites. Jesus said that? Yeah, that's just exactly what he said. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying. Now, Isaiah, I believe, lived 750 years before Jesus, something like that. And he prophesied about us today. Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying. You hypocrites, Jesus said, you draw nigh unto me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isn't that something? Isaiah told how we'd be in this day. And Jesus said it. He said, well, did he prophesy of you hypocrites? You run around and speak a few words, but your heart is not in it. Ninth verse. Now take a look in your Bibles. I didn't write this Bible. I had a preacher come into my office real shook up one day, and I was giving him this, and he said, let me take a look at your Bible. And he took and twisted it all directions, and I said, it's King James. Yeah, that's what it says, he said. I never knew that was in there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 15:9, it says, but in vain they do worship me, preaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Preaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They say Bishop so-and-so doesn't believe that. Or Pastor so-and-so, Evangelist so-and-so don't believe that. So they listen to doctrines of devils instead of doctrines of God, of this word. In vain, Jesus said, do they worship me. Just well, go fishing. What are you going and have a little bit of truth and a whole bunch of lies in your preaching? If you don't preach the whole thing, go fishing. Just that simple. Take off that facade. It's just that simple. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at Mark 7:7. Mark 7:7. Praise the Lord. That's hard stuff, but the Lord showed me it's time to quit pussyfooting around. We got to get down to the basics here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know something? We're all going to stand before God. One time I got into 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2:10 or 5:10. It says every one of us is going to stand before God and give an accounting of what we did. Every one of us. I think that's, check me out, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 5:10. Praise the Lord. But first we'll read Mark 7:7. Mark 7:7. Praise the Lord. How be it? Jesus is speaking. How be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? There it is again. In vain do they worship me. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:10. Somebody got that? I'd like to have somebody else read that. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Praise the Lord. While you're looking that up, brother, I want somebody else. Glenn, would you look up Luke? The Lord has given me this now by His Spirit. Luke 6:46. Write this down in the front of your Bible. Luke 6:46. And ask yourself often this question. Do you find it, brother? Do you want to stand up and read it, please, or read it? Praise the Lord. Who does it say is going to be there? All of us. All of us are going to stand before God the Father Almighty, and we're going to give an account. Even though we're saved, we're still going to give an accounting of what we did. And you know something, folks? Some of you are in a very tight and ticklish situation today. And we're going to get to this just in a minute. Got a little surprise coming in just a minute. Glenn, what did I tell you to look up? Okay, will you read that first? And then, brother, will you read Hosea 4, 6. I want you to read that through about 9 or 10. But Glenn, you read this first, please.
Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
How do you like that? Jesus says, why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I tell you to do? He said, why call me Lord? You're just a bunch of fakers if you don't do the things that I do, that I tell you to do. That's serious business, folks. Serious business. And I'm included. The Lord has shown me more and more. I used to go around and speak, and my wife says, you're getting just a little bit hard when you're starting to tell me things. It's really getting the Pharisees all worked up. But then one day the Holy Ghost showed me that I got to stand up before God and stand. And it might not be very long. That I don't know. But definitely I will stand like every one of you before God Almighty. And He's going to say, what did you do with the light that you had? We have a lot of light already compared to the rest of the world. What are we doing with this light? Like I've had pastors tell me, don't cast out devils in church. Take, or at least go down in the basement. You're making them awful nervous. Not long ago, I was in a church in Iowa, and I came to visit, and the pastor and his wife get along real well, and I came to the house. In fact, I was going to stay overnight, save a hotel room. So I went up there, and I love the people, and they tell me they got plenty of rooms. They said, anytime you come, stay overnight. And I got there that night, and he said, see, we're going to have service tonight, and I believe you're going to speak the service, or have the service. Well, I had my truck driving, I drive the truck sometimes myself. It doesn't make a difference. Just get up there and do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. I got up there and spoke on what's going to happen right here in just a few minutes. And demons started coming out all over the church, out of some of the elders. When the next day they said, he shouldn't do that in church. Should at least taken us down in the basement. But see, the demons manifested through these religious people. All I did is tell them to come out. And they started coming out. And one of the ladies was bending over the wives of one of the elders, and the demons of lust was coming out, and all kinds of adultery spirits. And my goodness, I got terrible nervous. Pastor said, and he got a little nervous, and he said, I heard him through another party that, well, maybe it would be quite a while before I'd get invited back to church. But just this past week, the pastor and his wife have had a change of heart. They got into Scripture. And they wanted to get Jesse Penn Lewis's book because they said, we found out there's lots of stuff. Another preacher got Jesse Penn Lewis's book, War on the Saints. And they find out that that's the people you're supposed to cast the devils out of is out of the Christians, out of the believers. They didn't realize that. They thought it was of the other ones. Well, I said, I don't cast them out of unbelievers very often. I cast them out of the believers. Because Jesus tells you, you know something? It's your responsibility to get yourself cleaned up. That's in 2 Timothy, Glenn, or in 2 Timothy 2:20. 2 Timothy 2:20 says that. Praise the name of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:20. I was driving down the road one day playing Gloria Copeland's tapes. But the devil had me so blinded yet. I was such a baby in the Lord, I couldn't understand 2 Timothy 2:20. Glenn, will you please read it? Praise the Lord. How do you like that? The Word of God says in every one of us, we're like a house that's got some gold utensils and silver and potter, and but then there's some pottery and there's some things made out of just down here by some 4-H kids out of some clay. And he said, you're all like that. You got some good things, but you got a lot of bad things in there, and it's your business to clean it up. Read it again, Glenn. It's our business, not God, to come and cast these demons out and get this goofy stuff out. It's our business. Read it again, brother.
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
Then what's the next verse?
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Prepared unto every good work. Then you will get fit to go out. Start cleaning up your own self. Pull that beam out of your own eye. I've had to do that out of mine, I'll tell you that. And every once in a while, another spirit will come to the surface. When I'm having deliverance, all of a sudden, here comes another demon floating up. I can feel it moving up through my belly. And think, what in the world is this one now? That's right. But some of you are so hardened yet you don't even know when one is manifesting in you. You think it's a bellyache or a headache. Headaches is nothing but demons of divination, witchcraft, and sorcery. Oh, you can say, I've never been in that. Oh, is that right? How many times have you looked at a horoscope? Oh, yeah, I just did that in fun. That doesn't make a difference if you did it in fun. If you read your fortune or went to a fortune teller or had one in a lyceum in a school at one time, oh, I did that just for fun. You don't do those things for fun. You've done it. You've opened yourself up for demons of witchcraft, sorcery, and the cult. And I never met anybody yet that hasn't had one. You just command them to come out of you and they'll start bubbling out. I'll tell you that. They're there if you haven't had deliverance. Now, I didn't write 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. Read that last verse again, brother. Praise the Lord.
If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work.
If a man purge himself, a man purge himself, not God, a man purge himself. Brother, I want you to read Hosea 4, 6 through about 8 or 9. Praise the Lord. Please.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory and the shame.
How do you like that? Thank you, brother. Not only is it going to cause you problems, you've heard things today, some of you haven't heard before. And some of you received some new additional light today. But if you don't do what the scripture tells you, God says, you're going to suffer for it. And not only you, but your children. Your children. Your children. Oh, I tell you, when I got into that verse and started reading, that's in the Old Testament, reading that, it really gives you a new insight on your responsibility. See, God has given each one of you the light and me the light. The light we've got has come from the Holy Ghost. And how does God get His word out? But through the Christians, through others. He wants you to reveal these things to others, not try to change the doctrine and say, well, we don't believe that over there in the first church. He didn't say that. He said, you have to preach his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to spend much more time, but the Holy Ghost, I believe I've got it to say it. I know it's of the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:18. Romans 1:18. There's a lot of young people here, and there's a lot of older people here. And like Brother Brote said last night, sometimes the Holy Ghost, I was down in Orlando one time. I go for 10, 12 days at a time speaking to full gospel businessmen's organizations. And down there, they have many breakfasts. Instead of evening meetings, they have 6 o'clock meetings in the morning. And then they have covered dish luncheon for the women during the middle of the day. And then other chapters at night, men and women together. So one day I was down there asked to speak to a bunch of ladies, and I didn't know what to speak on. I just walked in there, and the Holy Ghost said, tell them what they're doing in their bedrooms isn't of God. Whew. Spirit-filled people sitting there dripping with diamonds. But I was obedient to the Lord. And I'm going to be obedient to it now, even though it's going to take another 10, 15 minutes maybe at the best. Glenn, I'd like to have you come over here. And as you read, I'll stop you. But read Romans 1:18 and on, and I'll explain it as, if you can leave your machine. Okay.
Write this down. Romans 1:18 and on.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
The wrath of God, not from Satan. The wrath of God. Just a minute. Many of you have been in nursing homes. All of you probably. And as you're in the nursing home tonight at this town's gospel, around 5 o'clock, the aides go over here, they find Annie, and they say, Annie, it's time for supper.
Oh, is it supper time?
Yeah, it's supper time. Okay, get your nanny on. Get your carpet slippers on so they lead Annie out here about that time. Another aide goes over and finds Johnny over here. Johnny, it's time for supper.
Oh, is it? Where am I?
So they get him out. So she's leading them down, folks, in every nursing home across the world. They're leading these people. And the ignorant people are calling them senile. See, the uninformed. And the religious people say, oh, these are just senile. The devil's got their minds. They got reprobate minds, my dear friends. Reprobate minds. How do you get reprobate minds? Most of it, a big share of it, is from unnatural sex. That's where it's coming from. Oh, you'll say, my aunt or my mama, she was a godly person. Yeah, but you don't know what went on in her bedroom. Read on.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
They're without excuse. Because God has put in the mind of every one of us, in our conscience, that these unnatural things are not right. You don't even see animals doing some of these things. That men and women, spirit-filled, doctors and their wives, by the way, even preachers and their wives, are doing. Your mouth wasn't made for sex. Or your rectum either. And that's what's going on. It's so perverted. And that's what's talking about here. Read on, brother.
But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Hold it. They got vain in their imaginations, they said. It's the end thing to do. Oral sex, they said that. Everybody knew it, they said. They say the devil's got so blinded. They're so vain in their imaginations that their foolish hearts are darkened. Their spirit, man, is so darkened by Satan they think it's normal. That's right. But it's demonic. It's so demonic. Not long ago, a lady was brought to me by her husband. And she was all puffed up, hit real pot belly, just the young lady, hands all puffed up, and she come walking in like a zombie. Just barely knew that she was being tried. And the whole, I started praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost showed me she was watching these box office home movies of all kinds of goofed up sex. I don't know if you got it here, Tom, but most of the big cities, people have got that extra television set in their bedroom with all the dirty stuff. And see, they sit and watch that till the devil gets their mind. And it's coming faster now than it did in Grandma's time. See, but it's here. And you need to hear this message.
Okay. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools.
Fools!
And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving to themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the knowledge, the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Thank you. You see that? You get that, folks? That reprobate mind. See, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, Irma, said, God is not mocked. Remember that, folks. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he reap. These reprobate minds are just, the harvest is there. The harvest is there. They're just reaping what they've been sowing in their lifetime. And if any of you have been in these kind of things, and some of you have, you need to confess that sin to God the Father. You don't have to confess it to anybody else. Say, Heavenly Father. Has everybody got those verses? Okay, then erase them. Because I want to put a couple prayers on here that you need to write down, those of you that want to get set free. See, casting out demons is very important. Very, very important. But we've got to also get at the source and not just work with the effects. Absolutely. That's right. I know. But see, the devil is accelerating. He's got the people so brainwashed and so in darkness that they're teaching this thing. I've had the deliverance with girls who have become lesbians. And you know how some of these girls got to be lesbians? I had a girl about 25 years old come to me not long ago. And she said, I got it at a slumber party. I started questioning. I said, you remember how you got started? And yeah, she said, I was 13 years old. A whole bunch of us girls were together at a slumber party. So we all took our clothes off and one of them said, let's try this. And that demon, lesbian spirit, jumped in a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand that some of the doctors go to schools and teach these children.
Ann Anderson, all these. Yeah. Masturbation. Everybody's done it, or is doing it, and it better stop, because it's going to get at your mind.
I heard a preacher say this in the
last. I don't care. We just heard what the scripture says.
And he's a prophet.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't care what he said. This is what the scripture says. This is what the scripture says. Now, Irma, here's the prayer. All of you know, if you've been guilty of And the only way you're going to get set free is by confessing the sin to God the Father in the name of Jesus and receiving your forgiveness. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, drop into my mind, by the power of your Holy Spirit, any unconfessed sin in my life, so I can be set free in the name of Jesus. 1 John 3:8, Jesus said, if we confess our sins, He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Psalms 102, about the 12th verse, it says, He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. Not from the north or the south. You know, if you get on a jet airplane and go south, you'll soon go north. If you go north, you'll soon go south. But God is so wise, He said, from the east is from the west. Because you go east in a jet, you'll go east forever. You'll never go west. You go west forever and you'll never go east. But you go south and you're soon going north. You go north and you're soon going south. But God in His wisdom said, I cast all your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is what it is. I use this illustration. The Lord gave it to me by the Holy Ghost just recently. You see, in England they raise a lot of chickens. And they have high netting fences around their chicken farms. But England has also a lot of fox. And pretty soon a fox occasionally will find a hole in that fence. And he gets into those leghorn hens and they scatter confusion when that fox gets in that yard. They go all directions, confusion, when that little old fox comes in. Well, the farmer goes out and he chases the fox out. Just like we cast out a demon, we chase that fox out. But if we don't patch that hole in that fence, he's going to come back. And you patch that hole in that fence by confessing your sin to God the Father and stop sinning. You can get all the demons cast out of you and walk out of here and start sinning again. And you haven't plugged that hole in that fence, they're going to come right back in again. The demons have to come out in here with all these Christians in here. Them devils have to come out. But you visualize your mind's eye, they go out and they sit on that tractor. And when the Christians leave, they come bouncing right back in again, right where they were, because there was a hole in the fence. Sin opens the door. Sin. So we need to get at the source of the problem and not only deal with the effect. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is the way you do it. And then God, by His Holy Spirit, will drop into your mind, remind you of these things that He wants you to get right with. And you confess that to God in Jesus' name, receive your forgiveness, and then things are going to start to happen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we praise and thank you now in Jesus' name that we can center around your word, that your word never fails. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you said if the Christians would go out and preach the gospel, you said you would confirm your word with signs and wonders following. So, Father, now in Jesus' name, we just thank and praise you for these signs that are going to be following this word. The signs and wonders in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. And I'm going to start counting out spirits. And if those of you that want to get deliverance, you say this with me and you're going to start having deliverance. And one spirit, the Lord has showed me, there are several spirits, but I believe it's real strong. And I want you to say this with me. Say, spirit of rejection, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of that name of Jesus. And you come out of me by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Okay, now the next spirit is fear of rejection. Say, spirit of fear of rejection, I rebuke you. I bind you
in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of me. By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. That's two of them. Now the third one is the self spirit of self-rejection. Say, spirit of self-rejection. I rebuke you. I command you to come out of me. By the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Okay, all spirits of rejection, I command you to come out of everyone here now in the name of Jesus. Come out. You spirits of rejection, come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Come out. You spirits of rejection, you come out right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I said, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus, now. Jesus is the name. It's finished, Jesus said on the cross. He said, it is finished. You demons, you are finished. You come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. All rejection spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. Come out, I said, in the name of Jesus. Okay, now that opens the door of rejection. They'll keep coming out of you. Now the next one is the spirit of rebellion. That opens the door for rebellion. So say, spirit of rebellion, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of that name of Jesus. And you come out of me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. All rebellion, come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, you rebellious spirits. You come out of everyone here right now in Jesus' name. Come out. Rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. You lying spirits of religion that are hesitating, I bind you now in Jesus' name. Loose the minds of these people that you've been planting doubt in right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, you rebellion. Okay, lying. Say, lying spirits, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of that name of Jesus. And you come out of me by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Okay, lying spirits, you come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, you lying spirits, been lying to these people. You come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Pastor, get on him again. Lying spirits, plug in his ears again. Come out in Jesus' name. You come out in Jesus' name. You lying devils, you come out in Jesus' name. All lying spirits, come out now, every one of us now, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Out, you lying devils, in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out, in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, you lying spirits, come out. Out, in the name of Jesus. Come out. All lying devils, come out, in Jesus' name. Now, say this with me. Seducing spirits, I rebuke you. I command you to be bound by the authority of that name of Jesus. And you come out of me by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. All right, now all you seducing spirits of every category, you come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out, you seducing devils. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. 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 You lying spirits, come out in Jesus' name. You seducing devils, you come out in Jesus' name.
Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Think about that. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ is Lord. You can tell he's Lord. Lord, the demons are coming out because Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Now, you seducing spirits, you come out of the minds of everyone here in Jesus' name. Out of the flesh in Jesus' name. Come out, you seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. All you spirits of doubt and unbelief, all of you, bind that with me in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit of doubt and unbelief in here right now in the name of Jesus. And we command every spirit of doubt and unbelief to come out of the minds and out of the flesh of everyone here now in Jesus' name. You come out, you spirits of doubt and unbelief, in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. We loose the spirit of adoption. We loose the spirit of grace and supplication. We loose the Holy Ghost to move in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name. You come out, every seducing, lying spirit of deception. Come out now, everyone, in Jesus' name. You religious spirits, we bind every antichrist religious demon in Jesus' name and tell you to come out. All religious spirits, you come out now. Out of their minds, now out of the flesh of everyone here in Jesus' name. Come out, you false religious spirits. You come out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Come out, every false religious spirit. You spirits of Catholicism, you come out. You spirit of Mormonism, you come out. You spirit of Masonic Lodge and its affiliates, you come out in Jesus' name. You lying spirits that have come through the Luther teaching, you come out in Jesus' name. You come out in Jesus' name. You come out, Luther, in Jesus' name. You come out of this world in Jesus' name. Come out! Come out! In Jesus' name! Come out! In Jesus' name! Come out! All spirits that come in through the lodge, we come against you. Come out! In Jesus' name! In the name of Jesus! Jesus is the mind of the hell. Well, lose your mind right now. In Jesus' name! Jesus! Bind everyone of them in Jesus' name! And you come out in the name of Jesus. All you demons that come in through rock music, you come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. All you witchcraft and occult spirits, you come out now, everyone here in Jesus' name. All the curses that have come through eaten blood, we command all these curses to come out and lift in the name of Jesus. All of you that have eaten blood, right now you know if you have or not.